This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's June the 6th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the Farm Bill is headed to the president's desk again. And USTR believes a Doha agreement can fix issues with the bill. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll remind you who has the power over the future of ethanol in Washington, D.C. It all comes up on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learnard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learnard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat up 32 and a quarter cents higher at 8.46 3/4. September at 8.56 1/4, up 28 1/2. Those are both the Kansas City wheat numbers. July numbers in Chicago at $8.11, 25 1/2 higher, and September at 8.29, up 27 1/4. Corn futures in Chicago, $6.49 3/4. New contract highs today made, by the way, 6 1/2 cents higher. September at 6.62 1/4, up 6 1/4. And December futures at 6.77 1/2. New contract high there as well, 6 3/4 higher for the settlement price. July soybeans up 7 cents on the day at $14.59. August, $14.57, up 2 3/4. And September at $14.44, 5 1/2 cents higher. November soybeans at $14.39 1/2, up 7 1/2 cents. Soybean meal, $3.72, down $1.50. July at $64.35, and the bean oil up $1.70 for the afternoon. June live cattle, $93.85, down 65 cents. And the August, $100.20, down 80 cents. Feeder cattle, August contract, $112.25, 57 1/2 lower for the day. And the September at $113.45, down 62 1/2. June lean hogs at $75.12 1/2, down 20. July down $1.50 at $74. You're listening to WILL Radio. This is public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. And we're in the midst of our one-day summer celebration, we call. This is our summer celebration in hopes that you will send a little financial support our way. Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming, is here to tell us more about it. Hi, Dave.
Well, hello, Todd. And the revenue they send today provides more than $1 of every $3 we turn into programs that you expect to hear when you turn to AM 580. Do your part by calling us at 217-244-9455 with your pledge. We hope that you give an amount that you feel is fair and comfortable for you. Some of our listeners today, Todd, are giving $125, and that's enough to pay for one full day of agricultural programming on AM 580. And in exchange, we'll send you our WILL Echo Tote, filled with ideas for summer listening and reading, a new NPR station map, and a summer safety kit. Again, toll free at 217-244-9455. Todd, what happens when we give our listeners the agricultural information that they need?
Well, hopefully they call that number at 217-244-9455 and pledge their financial support to this radio station. It is important that you do it. It's easy to do. It doesn't take very long. We'll take MasterCard, Discover, American Express, Visa. You can write a check. You can just call in and tell us you're going to pledge that financial support, but you ought to do it now. The number is 217-244-9455. We're here every business day for you. We're asking you on this summer celebration today to be here for us. 217-244-9455.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Chuck.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Boy, it was wet here this week, I think, on Tuesday and Wednesday, 5.7 inches or something thereabouts in a 24-hour period in my hometown. Are you socked in up there, too?
Pretty much the same over this way, Todd. Some variability, but most farmers this way would have experienced too much rain again. And unfortunately for some of those north of Lafayette into the Watseka area, those folks had got off to a pretty good start, but that amount of water is causing some standing ponding and damage to crops that look pretty good up that way.
And we know that in southern and southwestern Illinois, things have been not been planted. I've heard of total acreages not being put in the ground at this point. What do you hear from Iowa?
Surprisingly, we talked to several people we worked out there, and it's actually they're further behind than we thought. Certain areas, again, it's not the whole state, but in that Quad Cities area and west a little bit, struggling to get their corn planted, finish that up, and beans certainly. One of the guys we work with was going to plan on side dressing his nitrogen, and he's been feeling a real time crunch here and a weather crunch of being able to get that done.
Boy, I bet that he is under some serious time crunch. How tall a corn is he in at this point?
Still pretty small, but again, in the lower areas of fields, that seems to be problem, Todd. It's not the whole fields. The higher ground's dried out, but, you know, you can't get through those areas where the water runs into. And that's, I think, the big problem with what's going on. There's areas that guys are planting today on some hillsides, but or upper ground, but the bottoms are completely or low ground is where the problem is now.
Let's talk about the marketplace just a bit. I've been on vacation for, well, about 8 business days at least, and we've got new contract highs in corn today. Crude oil futures moving into contract highs, too.
Yeah, that was an exciting, crazy week. Tuesday we saw the CFTC come in and move some of the speculators out of the market, we thought. But today the crude oil comes roaring back on some statement from the Israelis about their unhappiness with the nuclear situation. But corn and beans held up pretty well on Tuesday. And then today and yesterday, I think we've seen the attitude of the trade shift and really recognize the problems we have out here finally, Todd, that we aren't probably going to have all the acres, number one. And number two, the acres are out there. What kind of yield are we going to have? So I think some number crunching is going on by those people that need to buy corn and figuring, boy, we need to maybe move this market higher and better buy now, because later on, if, in fact, the acres are gone and yield is lower, we're going to have higher prices yet.
You know, let's talk about the flip side of this just a bit. There probably are producers that may have priced in something at this point. Do they need to be turning around and trying to buy some of that back? Are we at that point yet? What kinds of things are folks asking you, and what kind of advice are you offering?
Yeah, that's a good question, Todd. It's been asked a lot this week. I think we could look at this market. It's been in a trading range, and it's finally broken out. I think the thing to look at corn, what you've got to look at corn and look at and say, well, we're only a dollar past the all-time highs. Look how much soybeans have exceeded their all-time highs. Look what wheat did and exceeded its all-time highs. The corn market is high here, but from here we can still move a lot higher if we have to get into that rationing mode. I think another factor guys have got to look at, if a livestock producer were pretty uncomfortable a month or two ago, they kind of felt a reprieve when the market went down. Now will we liquidate those guys in a rationing mode? So, yes, we're buying back into the September calls or December call options. I know it's difficult for a lot of guys to do. They've been very frustrated with this market that hasn't been able to move higher when they saw the problems developing. But our recommendation would be, yeah, you really need to come back into this market.
What are you telling producers who just don't have acres planted at this point? And I suppose there might be a few folks out there that don't have acres planted, and they don't have it insured, and they're not going to get a preventative. There could be a real mess brewing in a lot of places, I would think.
Yeah, I think it depends on what part of the country you're in or what part of the state you're in. Even in the northern half of the states, we're moving into a time window here where it's getting late for soybeans, but if you can get them in, with the heat and the moisture, they will come up pretty quickly. The southern Illinois, Indiana guys feel a little better about planting beans because typically they double crop beans and do pretty well. But at this point, corn planting is getting to the point it's too late. Hopefully we won't get too much rain out of this system that's over us now, and guys can be able to get back into fields in a week or so.
And finally, how do your crops look?
Our corn crop actually got off to a better start than our beans. We got our corn in. It's not too bad. Got some thin stands, but our bean crop was a struggle to get in. We certainly had cool temperatures, and we had some replanting we had to do. So we had more trouble with beans over here, really, than we had in corn in our particular area.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Just be ready next week. We think it's a technical breakout. Watch this market work itself higher as we head towards that really important Planted Acres report on the 30th.
Thanks much.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You might be listening on a commercial radio station as well, but this program is supported by you, the listener in part, as a public radio program, and we're hopeful that you will help that cause out by dialing this number now. It's 217-244-9455. We try to be here each and every business day for you with good advice about the commodity markets and production agriculture in the state of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, across the Midwest. If that's the case and it makes a difference in your back pocket, I sure am hopeful you'll dial in right now with 217-244-9455. Even if you're listening on the web, those numbers are good around the clock.
In agricultural news, the Farm Bill is again heading to President George Bush for signature or veto after the Senate approved an amended measure yesterday. The president is expected to veto the bill, and then both chambers of Congress will need to vote again to override the measure, this time with all titles included. Yesterday, a White House spokesperson took a dig at Congress. Scott Stansel confirmed a veto, quote, "once they check to make sure it is complete this time." The Farm Bill originally went to the White House missing pages. The U.S. Trade Representative says that a Doha agreement is the best opportunity to address objectionable issues in the new Farm Bill. Susan Schwab also says the U.S. is seeking a high-level ministerial meeting this month or next to complete Doha negotiations. Japan has temporarily suspended U.S. poultry imports from Arkansas after Tyson Foods found a low pathogenic bird flu strain in some chickens. USDA says the strain poses no danger to humans. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says final language on biofuels in a UN document is acceptable to the U.S. The Framework for Action document is a blueprint for countries around the world to deal with rising food costs. The UN document says it is essential to address the, quote, challenges and opportunities that biofuels posed, adding more research and international dialogue was needed. Cuba criticized the final document because it did not blast the long-standing U.S. embargo against the communist-run island. Officials in Argentina, Venezuela, and Italy called the document disappointing. Officials with the American Farm Bureau Federation say climate change legislation under discussion in the Senate would hurt producers' bottom lines and does not address how farmers can contribute to lowering greenhouse gas emissions. Jonna Miller is with the AFBF, and she has this report.
The legislation calls for a nationwide cap on greenhouse gas emissions. Compliance would likely cost factories, power plants, and refineries big money.
Those costs are going to be passed on to the consumer. You and I and farmers and ranchers are going to be paying more for your gasoline, more for your electricity. Farmers are going to be paying a lot more for fertilizer because natural gas prices are going to increase.
American Farm Bureau environmental policy specialist Rick Krause says the bill would create a cap-and-trade program where companies that reach their improvement goals get credits that they could sell to the companies that don't.
Agriculture can actually reduce the amount of carbon in the atmosphere. By not plowing, agriculture can take carbon out of the atmosphere and store it in the ground.
But this legislation doesn't recognize any of agriculture's benefits. Jonna Miller, Washington.
And South Korea's president canceled the traditional speech before the new National Assembly yesterday after opposing party members boycotted the opening over the spat over U.S. beef imports. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is director of agricultural programming here at WILL, public radio for the farming world. Speaking of public radio, it's paid for in part by you, the listener. If you have not dialed this number just yet and you've been listening for a while, you know that you are a large part of our service, a large part of our financial side, too, and we'd like you to dial in with some support. The number is 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Do it now. This agricultural programming, we hope, is important to your back pocket, and that you will share some of that back pocket with us. Right now is the time to do it. 217-244-9455. And thank you for your contributions. Now up next, you know, when agriculture decided to add fuel to its tagline, food, fuel, feed, and fiber, it did more than just change a word. Some believe it changed the whole agricultural economy and the agency responsible for it. If you visit farmpolicy.com on the internet, you'll find a commentary from Dan Morgan. He's a special correspondent to the Washington Post and transatlantic fellow at the German Marshall Fund. The article is simply titled Biofuels. In it, Morgan argues the 2007 energy bill has changed which agency holds the most sway over the American heartland. Morgan writes, American agriculture still has not fully grasped the extent to which the energy bill shifted power over the farm economy to a corner of the executive branch where production agriculture has limited influence. He says in a Democratic administration attuned to the concerns of poor urban consumers and environmental groups, moderating food prices and protecting soil, water, and air could take priority over hitting the ambitious biofuels targets in the energy bill. Now, Dan Morgan factually states much of the language in the new energy bill was proposed by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Farmers will know the group as the folks who post their government payments online. In support of his shift in power theory, he states the biofuels provisions of the energy bill give the EPA administrator broad authority to scrap the annual requirements of corn ethanol, biodiesel, and cellulosic ethanol. Again, he writes, in consultation with USDA and the Energy Department, the administrator can waive the yearly requirements if she determines they would severely harm the economy of a state, region, or the United States, or finds that domestic supplies are inadequate to hit the target. It means, says Dan Morgan, EPA has a serious set of powers over the farm economy. Why? Because it can control the fate of biofuels by deciding when to turn on and off the mandates. Sometimes this would be based on economics of food prices. Turn back the mandate in a drought year. At others, it might be related to environmental concerns. Imagine how EPA might react if corn were planted fence row across America on good and bad lands. There is a voice inside EPA that might well temper any knee-jerk reactions bureaucrats and politicians could have to the food v. fuel debate that's already heating up. John Scholl is a native of Illinois and a graduate of the Agricultural College on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. He says as the nation makes fundamental changes in how it is powered, literally, critical and important environmental questions must be asked.
And, you know, I think we got a challenging period in the agency. I think we've got a challenging period in Washington as well as in the industry, to be able to keep things in context, to understand that, yes, the net overall good of renewable energy and agriculture's role that it plays in that is good. It's something that we desire. But as we see this change take place, let's make sure we ask the right questions. Let's make sure we don't create problems down the road that 5 or 10 years we have to come back and clean up messes that, you know, hopefully we can avoid.
A mess that might resemble one Dan Morgan calls implausible but possible. One where, after a poor 2008 growing season, the administrator of U.S. EPA decides to waive the requirement that gasoline blenders use 11.1 billion gallons of corn ethanol in 2009. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, have you dialed that number yet? This is the one to dial. 217-244-9455. It's 217-BIG-WILL. Pledge your financial support to public radio at the University of Illinois and to this program in particular, Commodity Week and the Closing Market Report, all of the agricultural programming that you hear on your radio station that comes from here at the University of Illinois. There are a few commercial radio stations that carry this program, WTIM out of Taylorville. Thanks to Randy Miller for putting us on there in the afternoons, as well as in Clinton on WHOW. But just because you're listening on the commercial radio station doesn't, or the web for that matter, does not mean that we don't need your financial support. The commercials on the stations, make sure that those radio stations are on the air. The pledge that you would give to us today at 217-244-9455 makes sure that the ag programming you're hearing right now is on the air, too. That's 217-244-9455, $40, $80, $120, $250, $500. Please pledge your financial support at 217-BIG-WILL. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard. He's the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of East Central Illinois in Ludlow. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Well, tell me about the rainfall and progress and where beans are at this point.
Well, as I had mentioned when you called in, the good news is that it started raining here about 15 minutes ago, so the drought's over. It had been a day and a half since we'd had the measurable amount of rain. I don't know where we are on planning for sure. We've got three different layers. At the marketing club earlier this week, the guesses were somewhere in excess of 20% of the corn hasn't been planted right in the Paxton area. I might have been a little optimistic and a little under that. But then we have the fact that, okay, if we've got 20% or so that hasn't been planted, prevented planting, there's probably another substantial chunk that's standing in some pretty deep ponds. So what's that going to be? And then I think we probably have 0% that went into good soil conditions that people were proud of. You know, the corn that's planted is in the ground, but not in ideal conditions.
Well, it's ugly, and I suppose we'll find out just how ugly about the time we get to the end of the month of June, huh?
Yeah, I think so. We'll get in here, get further on. And the thing is, you get further into the summer, wet weather has always been traditionally hard for the board to trade. The grass is growing in the yards in the suburbs, and
it's,
if you get corn along the edge growing up, covering up the wet spots where there's nothing, it's hard for it to keep that up all summer.
And basis following this thing up or not?
Basis had been rallying going into this. We saw some good pops in SIF, a day or so before the board rallied Thursday. But then when we took off on the board, we saw the SIF step back down. So we'd gained on SIF corn from like 15 over July up to 33 over, and then dropped back to 26.
Just give me the nearbys, please.
620 on Paxton corn and 1433 on beans.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. The weather in 2 minutes. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
It's National Applesauce Cake Day. The first references to applesauce appeared in late 14th century Europe. On this day in agricultural history in 1882, Henry Seeley of New York City received the first American patent for an electric iron. He called this device the electric flat iron. It used a carbon arc to create heat, but it was not all that safe. A decade later, hand irons using electrical resistance were introduced by Crompton and Company. In 1899, James Ricks patented a rubber overshoe for horses. The patent says the shoe prevents a horse from slipping in sleety weather and is applied over the horseshoe in common use. The shoe was formed from rubber and canvas and was fastened to the hoof by a strap. And in 1932, the Revenue Act created the first gasoline tax in the U.S., 1 cent per gallon of gas. The 1 cent rate was maintained till just before the U.S. entered World War II, when, as a result of increased national defense requirements, the tax was increased. Prior to the 1932 Act, there had been reluctance on the part of federal officials and Congress to impose the tax at the federal level. Instead, they preferred to relinquish the revenue source to the states to help them finance their revenue needs. By the way, Oregon was the first state to levy a gasoline tax in 1919. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Public Radio on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. If you haven't dialed this number, please do it now, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL for our friends and listeners on the commercial radio stations. Public Radio is supported in part by your financial pledge, and that includes those folks who are listening to WILL out of Urbana-Champaign or from our website. Your dollars help pay for this program, and we're hopeful that it makes a difference to you in your back pocket and the way you market your crop. If it does, right now is the time to do this. It's 217-244-9455, just a quick one-day summer celebration pledge drive. You can also do it online at willpledge.org. $52, $60, $125. Just pledge your financial support, however you'd like to dial in and pledge that support would be great. It's 217-244-9455. On the line with us this afternoon to talk about the weather is state climatologist Jim Angel from the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County. Hi, Jim.
Good afternoon.
Why don't you recap the week for me?
Well, another wet week here in central Illinois. We really got some heavy rains earlier this week. Amounts in southern Illinois weren't too bad, 1 to 2 inches. But here in central Illinois, it was 2 to 7 inches. Especially the hardest hit area was around Decatur, Springfield, and points around there. In fact, we had in the town of Cisco, they had 7.74 inches of rain this week. And normally, most stations in central Illinois get about 4 inches on average for the whole month of June. So there's a lot of places that are already across that threshold, and in the case of Cisco, actually almost double that.
I saw Scott Williamson from AgriGold had written a note. I saw it come out on the email that in my hometown, Mahomet, where he lives too, we picked up 5.7 inches of rain in a 24-hour period. I put 2 inches of that in my basement, which was not fun. But
oh, yeah.
Well, that's what happens when a sump pump goes out.
Oh, there you go.
But there were a lot of people that were in that. They were having that kind of problem, and farmers are underwater in a lot of places. How many places around the state do you think are actually in good shape or somewhere that they can actually get in and do some field work? Any place at all?
You know, there's very few places. I suspect there might be some areas between here and Chicago that there's a small area up there that seems to have missed some of the heavier events. And along the Illinois-Wisconsin border, kind of the northeast part of the state, maybe not quite as much rain as the rest of the state, but pretty much all of central Illinois and southern Illinois between this month and last month and even before that, we've had quite a bit of rainfall.
And so there'll be a lot of acres probably underground, underwater, and that's a lot of dollars underwater, too. Will it get better in the coming week?
Well, unfortunately, we're just kind of stuck in the same old pattern. I've been looking at the forecast, and out for the next 2 weeks, they have us in what they call an increased chance of above-normal precipitation. And, in fact, we have the potential of getting another 1 to 2 inches just in the next day.
All right, Jim, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is the state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey. You've been listening to the Closing Mark Report from Public Radio on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Dial this number now with your financial support, 217-244-9455. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.